a new series. I'm excited about a new series. Don't know how and don't know where we're going with this and how long. I'm sorry, I'm not prepared in that area. But I'm excited about the word that I want to talk to you tonight about the title of Chasing the Carrot, Chasing the Carrot. Now, I had some smart alecks come to me earlier tonight. They said, you're going to be the donkey or you're going to be the rabbit, you know, and I'm sure my wife already answered that one for them and told them which one I can be. But anyway, you know what I'm talking about. It's kind of, you know, that they and I don't know whoever come up with the idea, but put the carrot in front of the mule and the mule can never get the carrot, never get the carrot. It doesn't matter how hard he tries, but as long as that carrot's in front of him, he's chasing that carrot. He's continuing to pull the wagon, continuing to move forward, and trying with everything he can, every bit of energy he can, to try to get a hold of that carrot, but he never can be successful about getting it. You know, a lot of us, we chase carrots in life. We chase carrots, and that's what I want to deal with for the next couple weeks. I want to talk about some of the carrots that we chase in life, and I thought the first night of this, let's make it interesting and let's really deal with some issues and deal with some topics tonight that I really think that all of us can relate with. That every one of us can relate with this. It doesn't matter the age. It doesn't matter, you know, growing up wherever and doing what. I believe every one of us, if we could be honest, could relate with this. Maybe for ourselves, maybe you know somebody that they can relate with this, and you're thinking, man, they should have been here tonight. Well, don't so much they should have been here tonight, then you not receive it, okay? So make sure and receive this word tonight as well. But tonight I want to talk about the pursuit of approval. The pursuit of approval. You know, the thought of, do you like me? Do you like me? You don't have to answer. I'm just asking. Do you like me? People want to know. Do you like me? People want to know. Do I fit in here? People want to know. Do you approve of me? The battle with trying to please people over trying to please God. And that's what the carrot is tonight. That people are trying so hard to try to get somebody to like them and to try to get people to approve of them. Maybe you battle with caring tonight what other people think about you. It's quiet in here tonight. Maybe that's your battle tonight. You battle with what other people think about you. I like what one writer said. This one writer said that the disease to please is actually a form of addiction. She says, like a drug addict seeks drugs, people pleasers will always seek approval from other people. They have to have it. Now that we've got that out of our system, how many of you know somebody tonight that falls right into this category? Or maybe you yourself falls in this category, all right? And you're thinking, man, this is totally me. Or I know somebody that they have to seek the approval. They have to know that their joke in a crowd of people, they've got to know that their joke was the funniest joke you've ever heard. Or they're going to be offended. You're going to make them mad. You're going to upset them. They're going to have nothing to do with you. If you don't let a belly laugh come from deep inside and let them know, if they don't walk into the room and you make them feel like they're the most important person in the room, then they get their feelings hurt. Anybody know anybody like that? Stop pointing at him or her. Don't do that tonight. So I'm teasing. But how do you know if we're actually battling with this need to please?
How do you know if you're somebody and you're actually battling with this, and maybe other people have told you, you know what, you've got a weakness about this, and you've got to have everybody liking you, and you've got to feel like you please everybody, and you're kind of brushing off, no, I don't. I'm not that kind of person. You may be somebody tonight thinking, no, I'm not that kind of person. Listen, I'll give you three problems that people pleasers battle every day of their lives. Three problems that people pleasers will battle. The first one is this, that you obsess about what other people think. You obsess about it. It's always on your mind. It controls your emotions about what other people think. Do you like my new outfit? Do you like the music that I listen to? Do you like my new hairstyle? Do you like the picture that I posted? And then if you're like, yeah, I like it, yeah. But if you really don't really just get all involved and tell them it's the greatest thing, then the next question comes, are we okay? Are we okay? Why didn't you respond to me? Why did it take you so long? I texted you earlier today. I saw the little bubbles come up, but you never responded. Are we okay? Listen, I want to tell you, if you know somebody like that, or maybe you are somebody like that, you are draining. I mean, you drain us, man. It's hard to deal with you, but we love you. We love you. But I want you to understand that this is something that it's a disease in your life that is shortening your life. It's a disease in your life that it's hard to control in your life. Matter of fact, it's a disease that is controlling you. You obsess constantly about what other people think. For me, I'm incredibly vulnerable in this area. Perhaps the most vulnerable that I am is when I leave here on a Sunday. Bill, I'm telling you right now, I'll be the first to admit. Then I want to know from my wife, I want to know, was it a good sermon? But I really don't have the nerve to come out and say, did I preach good? So I ask her this, how you think it went? How you think it went? Because I didn't want to just come out that one question, did I do good? I wanted to know the whole, how do you think it went? And if she starts talking about the music and starts talking about so-and-so and this person and, oh, it was great to have this visitor and this person here, and man, it was blessed me that somebody came down to the altar. If she starts talking about all this and kind of goes around, my question that I really want to know, how did I do? Then eventually I have to just come out and say, listen, did I not make sense? Was it not a three-pointer message? Was it not a touchdown sermon? Tell me. And then God love her. But if she ever says, it was okay. It was okay. Then I know it was just out of bounds, foul, horrible. Let's just move on and go on. But you know, I'll be honest, for me, that's what I'm vulnerable to. So I'm not preaching something that I can say that I'm above this, because I'm somebody that tonight that, man, I want people to approve. I'm somebody tonight that I want the approval. I want to make everybody happy somehow. That is a carrot that is in front of me every week that I'm trying to chase, and I'm trying to go after this carrot. And it's a carrot that I've had to learn that it's a carrot that I'll never catch. It's a carrot that I'll never be able to get a hold of. You obsess, and I obsess what people think. You've got some folks that say, I don't care what anybody thinks. No, that's a front. That's just a front. Yeah, you do. You really do. That's just a tough front that you're putting on. But you really do. You know, you probably cry at night when nobody's looking at you and around you. So, but the first thought is this, the three things that I want to show you is, the first is that you obsess about what other people think about you. And then number two, you're often overly sensitive to criticism. You're too sensitive to criticism. We're overly sensitive to suggestions or any type of criticism. Let me give an example, that your supervisor makes a suggestion that your performance about your performance at work, and what happens? You fall apart. It's the end of the world. I mean, he just handed you a pink slip in your mind. You get one negative comment and you get difficult, you get difficult feedback. Man, your world just falls apart. Let me give you another example. Maybe your child tells you what they really think about your parenting skills. And all of a sudden, you fall apart, and you just, you know, it's over, and I'm the worst. Listen, 100 people can say something positive about you, but you get one piece of pushback, and suddenly you find yourself really struggling because people pleasers obsess about what other people think about them. So you got. Some tonight, you've got people that you obsess about what people think, and then you've got number two, you're somebody who is overly sensitive to criticism. Hey, I've got a suggestion here. Here's a thought. Let's do it different this way, or let's try this, and then you pop off, and you get upset, and you get mad, and you're thinking that, you know, they don't like the way I'm doing it, and you just really get overly sensitive. Listen, that is a carrot, folks, that's in front of you that controls you, and you don't even know it. Some of you tonight, if you would be honest, some of you tonight would say, that is me, and I've been that way my whole life. Here's the point. You've been controlled by that your whole life. You've been a prisoner of that your whole life. You don't even realize the damage that's done. You don't realize the relationships that you pushed away because you've tried so hard to please people and you want everybody to like you. You don't know how many jobs you may have pushed away, how many opportunities you pushed away, how many doors you've shut in front of you because you've tried so hard. You want them to like you, or maybe you're too sensitive about criticism that somebody's given you. The third thing I want to share with you tonight is this. You actually have a hard time saying no. You have a hard time. You're somebody, the carrot's in front of you, and it's the hardest thing for you to just say no. No. Absolutely not. If I go up to Bill and I say, Bill, can I borrow that pretty red truck? Bill's going to have no problem saying, no. No. I know how you drive. I see how you're out on the road. STOP means nothing to you. No, no. But there's others of you here tonight that you don't know how to say no. See, it was hard for you just now to say no, all right? Some of you, man, you're like, if somebody asks you, yeah, why not? And you're thinking back in your mind, why did I do that? Why did I allow that? Listen, the thing, oftentimes when you're so obsessed with what other people think about you, we struggle to say no when we realize that we really should. We may find ourselves avoiding conflict at all costs. Well, I'll just go ahead and tell you, I don't like to loan books out. I don't like to loan books out because I never get them back. Okay? So don't ask me for a book. Now that that's out in the open, don't ask me. But I love borrowing your books and I'll get them back to you, I think. If anybody has a book that I have, I promise I'll look for it. But, you know, the thing is, I know I'll never get them back, but there's things that people say, oh, can I borrow this book? Can I borrow this? Can I borrow this? I've had things that were taken and people borrowed them, and it was easier for me just to say, yeah, go ahead, than to have conflict if I was to say no. Are you okay tonight? Because you're going to get this. The carrot in front of me is I want everything to be okay, and I want you to like me, and I don't want any issues, and I don't want any problems. So it's easier for me just to always say yes, regardless what the question is, because I will avoid conflict at all costs. You don't want to hurt someone else's feelings, so you're going to try to do everything to smooth everything out. It's just like this, the kid that comes to your door selling wrapping paper. So what do? You buy wrapping paper. that you'll never use. You'll never use. The magazines that come to your door, you buy them because you'll never use them. And something about you on the inside is saying, you know what? It's hard for me to say no. It's hard for me to say no. I knew what I was preaching tonight, and I went to a ministerial alliance, and they fed us like healthy food, and I was like, pfft. So when I left there, I was like, I really got to go get me something to eat. So I pulled into Panda Express for lunch, and I was like, give me some of that Kung Pao chicken and a little small side. That's all I need. Give me some chopsticks. And they said, would you like to give today? And I was like, yes, I will. I knew I was going to preach on this. But nothing inside of me was able to say no, no. Why? Because, man, I didn't want to pull up to the window that's 10 feet in front of me and have to look at this person that asked me this question. They're thinking, you cheapskate, you. I didn't want that image to be in my mind. So it was just easier for me to say, yeah, yeah, I'll give some extra. Then when I'm pulling off, I think to myself, stupid, stupid, stupid. Why? Why? You know, it's like this. You go to the party that you're dreading. You really don't want to go, but you go to avoid conflict. You go just so that you can go and because you don't want to have to tell the person no, because you find it so difficult. Some of you, that's exactly tonight. Listen, that's the carrot that is right in front of you tonight. It's where you live. You're overcommitted all the time, always. And someone else asks you, can you help out? And you say, sure. And in the back of your mind, you're thinking, why not? Because I don't have anything better to do with my life. Yes, you do. Your life is full. But you're chasing a carrot because you want people to like you. And I don't understand when I'm the pastor and I can ask some of you and you turn me down. You don't have a problem with that. Oh my, I'm starting to call names out now. I'm teasing. You find yourselves overcommitting. And here's what the scripture says. Proverbs chapter 29. Verse 25, it says this, fear of man will prove to be a snare. Now, let's pause there for just a moment because the Hebrew translated word here that's translated as a snare is the word, and this word literally means a noose. It means a noose for catching animals, or it means a hook that is generally in the nose of an animal. And so I'm going to show you. Gary, did you have your ring on tonight? You left it, your nose ring. You left it at home, man. I told him to wear the nose ring tonight. You know, you got one he usually wears. You know, when he's punk rocking on the weekends and stuff. But he left it at home. So, but literally, it could, you know, to prove a point, to show you what it is. It's to be led around with a snare, led around with a ring, led around that where I want you to go, you've got to go. And that's what this is talking about here. It says the fear of man will prove to be a snare. All right, so it's something that controls your every movement. And it's very accurate picture of what it's like when you're obsessed with what other people think. When you are somebody, you're obsessed. You want the approval of other people so bad. You're chasing the carrot in front of you. And as long as they're dangling it in front of you, you're willing to go, man. You just want them to like you so much. You want their approval so much. You want them to be your friend so much. You want to be a part so much. You just want them to like you so much. And they can lead you around. And you're living in bondage. When you're hooked and when you're being pulled in different directions, again, fear of man, it's a trap. It's a snare. It's listen, I want to say this. It is not of God. Having that kind of addiction in your life, it is not of God. But the scripture says, fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord will be kept safe. Fear of man, fear of what other people think, it'll always be a trap that will pull you away from God's will, but whoever trusts in the Lord will be kept safe. I've got good news for you tonight. Whoever trusts in God and in his presence and in his assessment of you, of who you are and what he's called you to do, you will be kept safe. Fearing what other people think, it's a trap. Fearing trying to get the approval, it's a trap. It's a snare. It's not to be taken lightly, saints. It's not one of those things that we just think, well, everybody does it. Everybody struggles with it. No, listen, it's actually quite destructive in your life that somebody has that much power over you. It's a sad thing that when somebody's got that much pull on you, you're a grown man, you're a grown woman, but they can speak the words to you and grab you by the nose ring and just pull you around wherever you want to go, and you have no choice. Their words are so golden to you, and you're thinking, whatever you want me to do, I'll go, and you've got control of my life. Listen, that's a snare, and you don't even see it. That's a destructive trap that you're being in. You are in bondage, my friend. You're not living a life of a freedom with God. Is this okay with everybody tonight? It's a destructive thing to live in, and we've got to recognize it. We've got to recognize that it is not just a relational problem. When you become obsessed with what they think, it is the fastest way, and I'm going to say this, to forget about what God thinks about you. When you get so captivated about what they think and what they say, you no longer can remember what God says. You can't even think about what God says. And know this, right now, every person in this room, God has a very specific opinion about each and every one of you, but it's the fastest way to forget what he says. Paul wrote a letter to the Galatians in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. And Paul wrote these words. I like this. Paul wrote, he said, obviously, I mean, it's like, duh, obviously, I am not trying to win the approval of people. He says, but God. Now I want you to understand something that we've got to grab a hold of here for a second. The people of this time, they knew all the things in Paul's life that gave credibility to his word, obviously. They knew Paul so well. They knew where Paul had been. So when Paul says, obviously, I'm not trying to get your approval, but only God's approval. They understood because they knew about Paul. Obviously, they knew that obviously you've been in prison multiple times for your faith. We've seen it, Paul. We know you have. Obviously, you've been shipwrecked and left for dead. We know about that, Paul. Obviously, you have been shunned by your entire former peer group who used to be the religious elite. We know that about you, Paul. Obviously, you aren't living for the approval of people, but for the purpose of Christ. And saints, understand tonight that the challenges, and the challenges is this. I don't think it's so quite obvious about us. I don't think it's obvious about our lives who we're really trying to live for. When people look at our lives, can they look at us and say, obviously, he doesn't care about what people think. He's trying to please God. Because here's the thing, I don't think that it's so obvious when people look at us. He says, obviously, I'm not living for the approval of people, but for God. And when he says one of the most humbling and sobering passages possibly in all the Bible, verse 10, if pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. Think about that for a moment. He says, if pleasing people were my goal, then I wouldn't be a servant of Christ. Because to be a servant means to place yourself under someone or something. To be a servant means that you're under somebody. And so if we're going to place ourselves under the approval of people, hear me tonight, we can't then place ourselves under the approval of Christ. It's one or it's the other. Paul said, I'm not trying to win your approval. I only want his approval. Because Paul knew that if I'm going for your approval, there's no way that I can live under the approval of Christ. You can put yourself under one or the other, but you cannot live for both. So tonight we've got to look at our lives. We've got to start searching our lives. Am I chasing the carrot, man? And has somebody got such a pull on my life? Am I living for the approval of people so much? Am I starving for attention so much? Do I let things bother me so much because I want them to like me so bad? Am I willing to do anything, and I'm willing to never say the word no to them because what they might think of me? Listen, if that's the case in your life, then I just want to flat out tell you, that's who you surrender in your life to. That's who the master of your life is. You can't be surrendering your life to Christ if you worry more about what they say than what God says. And listen, I know this is a harsh reality tonight, but if pleasing people were my goal, I would not be a servant of Christ, is what Paul says. And I want to talk about the fact that we find the disease to please, And as much as we do not want to admit this, pleasing people is a form of idolatry. It really is. Pleasing people is a form of idolatry. What's idolatry? What is putting something above God? It is thinking about pursuing, spending more time, chasing after anything more than you chase after God. That is idolatry, my friend. And all throughout the Bible, we see that this idea that God is a jealous God. What does that mean? That means this: God doesn't want your attention on anybody else but him. God wants to be the one that says, you know what? I want your attention. I want you to pursue me. I don't want you to ever tell me no. I want you to chase after me. I want you to want more of me. The sole source of your identity, your heart, your affection, your thoughts, and anything else that we place before him, he becomes jealous of what gets your attention. He becomes jealous of the carrots that we're going after in life. Oh, this is going to be a great series. The form of trying to get the approval of people so bad, and God says, that makes me sick. It makes me sick because that attention that you're putting on them should be put on me. Should be put on me. In fact, Jesus spoke this in the Gospel of John chapter 12, verse 42. So in 3.5 years of his public ministry, understand that Jesus like literally took blind people and spoke to them, made mud, spit, put it on their eyes, whatever he happened to do, and now they're seeing again. He took people who were lame, that could not walk, and by his word and by his power and his miracle, now they're walking again. People that had leprosy, he cleansed them like that and made them whole again. Dead people, he brought breath back into their life, and they were able to live again. And it wasn't just his followers that saw this. There was a group of leaders known as the Pharisees that would watch these miracles be performed. They were the eyewitness, but yet they still refused to publicly acknowledge by faith that he is the Christ. They still wouldn't acknowledge it. They still wouldn't say it. In fact, Jesus described their idolatry this way. He says this in verse 42 of John 12. Because of the Pharisees, they were not openly acknowledging their faith. Why? Because for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. Listen to this. For they loved human praise more than praise from God.